I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Sunday Night Football to start up, and before I start this podcast, you know, if you're watching it on the on YouTube, you already know who my guest is, but on the podcast, I'll wait a minute to introduce it. The first thoughts we have are, look, our team's won, but we're both going to say this because we both agree with it. Fuck the Eagles, right, Danny? And now, folks, for those who listen on podcast, of course, that Dan Goes Ham is back on the pod.
Yes, I must say, fuck the Eagles. You know, I'm still going to have to live and die by my take with Big Rat that Jalen Hurts is the QB3 of the draft of that draft, and Tua's QB4, and he looked terrible today. But yeah, fuck the Eagles.
Fuck the Eagles, man. Like we had them in the draft. It's just for some reason Jalen Hurts decides on the one time we both put money on them. Hey, you're gonna win. I always thought this too, because I'm pretty sure they had the Michael Strahan retirement thing today. I'm like, the Giants never win those games. What I saw, which I know is an obscure stat, but I was like so confident. Eagles are going to win. Now that's twice this year the Giants have bit me in the ass, and the third time they bit me in the ass, second time this week because I took them on Monday.
Yeah, you're not allowed to bet on the Giant games anymore, bro.
Nope.
But yeah, man, I mean, now in hindsight, you could see that this was a trap game, you know, from a mile away. I don't know. I just didn't see it at the time. But, you know, the Eagles fans' morale were high. You know, they're starting to think they're going to make the playoffs, and, you know, look what happened. So, and plus, you know, the Giants really wanted this win after the Eagles fucked them last year out of the playoffs.
Oh yeah, that's right. And then also too, just to think about too, because like how well the Eagles played last week against the Saints. Even I know the Saints are obviously not that good of a team anymore with all the injuries they've been facing, but it's the same sort of thing. I get it.
Yeah, no, of course, but you know, the key to this game is the Giants offense did not look better without Jason Garrett, so you can say that. I mean, I know it is the first week of Freddie Kitchens calling plays and stuff, but I really don't think it's going to make much of a difference. We'll see how the rest of the year drags out, but
this is what, their fourth win of the year?
Third or fourth, right?
Something, yeah, because like I gotta look this up. I'm curious now. Yeah, they're 4-7. Like, I love the NFC East, how it goes from 7-4 to 5-7 to 4-6 to 4-7.
It's been a dog shit division for years, man. But they produce Super Bowl winners. I don't know how, but they're always producing the Super Bowl winner every few years here. So
they find a way to do it. Like, and even too, the Cowboys are slowly starting to, like, no one knows what they're up to. Football team obviously is bad, and then Eagles, I feel like we're kind of riding a high, and then now that high kind of like took down significantly from them.
Yep, and we're gonna have to step on their throats next week, unfortunately, but you heard that here first.
And also, too, folks, spread, for those of you wondering, it's already at +7. I'm on the Jets next week to cover that spread, +7. Wow.
Yeah, man, I would recommend it, but, you know, not a lot of people are going to trust the Jets right now. I don't blame them.
Oh, no, I know. I'm the same. But speaking of which, though, I know they don't trust them, but today, 21-14 victory over the Houston Texans. I know it wasn't ugly, but you know what? A win's a win. And I know there was one bright spot for your team today, because obviously I was watching the Patriots-Titans games, we'll get into in a minute. But I have to say this, man, John Franklin Myers played a really good game today.
Yeah, man, you saw that. His family was in attendance. He's a, you know, he's a Texas boy, so he definitely showed out for everyone today. That interception was awesome. I think he had two sacks, couple tackles for losses. You know, the D-line was they were after Tyrod today, man. I know it was a little clumsy early. They went up 14-3 early, and I was just like, oh, here we go again. You know, Salah's defense is just failing week after week after week. But, you know, after that second touchdown, they really cleaned it up. And, you know, they played a great second half. They didn't give up no points in the second half. So, you know, credit there. I know it's the Texans, and, you know, you can't really put too much stock into that. But we're a bad team, too, you know, so we're going to take anything we can get, any bit of positivity. And, yeah, for the offense, man, I mean, you could tell Zach was really rusty, you know, the first half, and he was just missing throws left and right, man, easy completions, which kind of has been, you know, the story with him so far. But I didn't think he had confidence in the knee too much, because, you know, he was just like scared to get hit type shit. But the second half, he came out, made a couple big throws. You know, he did what he needed to do. The run game was there. The run game, you know, they were getting consistent first downs and found a way to win, man.
You know what? That's all that matters at the end of the day. They found a way to win. I know, because obviously I just say good teams find bad ways to win. Even to, like you said today, it wasn't an ugly game. But you know what? You got the victory. And obviously, look, having that the 3 in front of your record now instead of a 2, obviously I know it's not saying much. But it's just looking at a step forward, and also too considering your schedule is not exactly that tough going down the stretch, because you now have the Eagles, the Saints, and then I believe I want to say the Dolphins in your next 3. So there's games where, look, you guys could be facing maybe 5 wins somewhere going into Christmas.
So most of the fan base hated the win today because everyone's so torn on either Kayvon or Hutchinson. So everyone hated the win, but for me this year, I just want to see – I'd rather have Zach win games and look really good than, you know, just have him look bad and lose these games. So I'm on the win train, you know, right now. You know, if it's week 17, week 18, you know what I'm saying, and you just need a loss to get, like, the second overall pick rather than the fourth or the fifth, you know, and you're playing, like, the Bills, you know, whatever, lose the game. But it's what is it, week 11, week 12?
Right now we're in week 12. Next week's week 13.
It's week 12, man. You know, like let's root for the quarterback to do good. Let's, you know, the pieces that matter on the team. You know, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter's hurt, but him and just, you know, Quinnen Williams, John Franklin Myers, the guys who matter on the team. You know, I want to see them perform well to, you know, go into next year with some momentum. So I don't want to just see the team just get blown out every week and stuff like that. Nah.
Nah, dude, 100%. I completely understand.
That's the New York toxic fan base. So that's who I was last year. Last year was a different story. You know, we needed the quarterback. I was so sold on Trevor. I really wanted Trevor, which Trevor really hasn't looked good at all. No one really has except for Mac, which pains me to say that. But, you know, you can't. Nothing's guaranteed with the NFL draft.
Smiling ear to ear over here with that. But no. Because I would understand it. Look, if you guys had one first round pick, but you're gonna have 2 in the top 10. I feel like look, you guys are what, 3-7? You guys are 3-8 right
three
now.
And eight.
You're 3-8. Seattle very well could be 3-8 after tomorrow night. So you could have what could be rare in 2 top 5 picks, even because of how bad Seattle's looked. But I expect them to get the dub tomorrow night. So we'll see how it all plays out. But
yeah, if Seattle loses that game tomorrow, man, that team is folding like a lawn chair. It's going to get ugly in Seattle.
I've been saying this for a while for them, but I feel like they're just trying to recreate their one now dream season from 2013 where, you know, Legion of Boom, Russ was cooking, all that stuff. But they're just not getting it. The defense isn't the same anymore. I think Russ is gone after this year. I think Pete Carroll, too, will have like a – it's not going to be like – firing, but, you know, like mutually agreed to step ways. And also I thought there's a chance he'd go back, take the USC job, but that's not the case anymore.
Man, Pete should just go on and enjoy the rest of his life. I mean, I don't know personally the guy and how much he really loves football. Maybe it really is something that gets him, makes him get out of bed in the morning and he just loves it. But, you know, that team is it's going to take a while to rebuild. And, you know, I don't know if Pete's the guy for that anymore.
No, exactly. I feel like it's just one of those, like, changing of the guard, end of an era kind of moves where, like when, for example, when Jimmy Johnson, oh, actually, I'm not going to use that example because that was a bad example to give. I was about to say when Jimmy Johnson got fired, but there's many examples of it. Like when you know that it's an end of an era, kind of like similar to what's going on in Pittsburgh right now, where Ben Roethlisberger should have retired after 2020, and even too when Drew Brees should have retired after the end of the 2019 season, but they're still holding on to hope, but then now that hope's basically gone.
And you're just, you know, the team's clear. These teams aren't winning championships, you know. So what is the point of not just, you know, hitting the reset button earlier rather than later and getting a jump start, you know? Unless you're fucking New England, which sucks, you know, that these guys can, you know, go 1 year and rebuild and now they're in first place all of a sudden.
You know? Okay, so let's go there. Because obviously New England got the big 36-13 win today over the Tennessee Titans, a very depleted Tennessee Titans, which I'll admit first here, folks, I went in with cautious optimism into that game because every time I go into a game thinking, like saying out loud that we're going to win, we're going to cover, I'm going to puff my chest out. If you don't, folks don't remember, I eat so much crow when I was so confident the Saints were going to kill the Giants week four and the Giants won in fucking overtime. Look, when it was two, when we were 2-4 or even 1-2 after the Saints game or after the Cowboys game, I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. But then we just caught lightning in a bottle. Obviously, there was the Jets game, but then the Chargers game. And then we looked great against the Panthers. And then we killed the Browns. And then the Falcons, we just absolutely destroyed them, me not realizing how dog shit they truly were. And then today, we took advantage of a depleted Titans team. So we're at the point right now where whatever happens, happens. Like, we'll be in the playoffs for sure. It's just how far we can truly go.
Yeah, man. I mean, I had more faith in your team than you today, you can admit. You know, I told Griff, I'm like, listen, Patriots -7 today. That's probably the best bet on the card. And but I understand your superstition. You know, that's cool and all. But yeah, man, it's just they're dominant right now. That defense is playing lights the fuck out. You know, Mac's doing what he has to do. The run game's there. It's just a classic Bill team, bro. And that guy's just further cementing his legacy as the greatest coach of all time. You know, I don't see how he doesn't win Coach of the Year. I don't know who else I would give it to as far as right now.
Honestly, I agree with you. There's no one else because a lot of the times it's a lot of, you know, a first-year coach who comes in has a great impact. The one I had my money on was Brandon Staley, but he honestly hasn't been playing that well since. He hasn't been playing well, but the Chargers have really fallen off a bit.
Yeah, that team should be a lot better than they are. They lost last week too, right? Or no? Did they beat the Steelers? They lost to the Steelers, no?
No, they beat the Steelers. Remember Mike Williams said that, like, walk-off touchdown, like, 30
That's
seconds
right.
ago?
Okay, but they gave up the comeback. But, yeah, man, you know, the Chargers, they were looking really, really good to start the year, and they're folding, bro. You know, I'm starting to have a lot of doubts about the Chargers. But that whole division, man, I mean, if you want to jump into that whole division's, like, literally a game within each other. What is it? The Chiefs are on top by one game?
Chiefs are on top by one game right now, and then they got the Broncos, obviously, as we look at our TVs right now, Carrie Underwood singing the song next Sunday night. Well, you know how next Sunday night, we talked about this off air, Danny said the Broncos don't excite him. It was supposed to be 49ers Seahawks next Sunday, so I'm thankful that they flexed that game out.
Oh, they had to. Absolutely had to.
Yeah. The only other game. Pardon me?
What did they flex it off for?
Broncos Chiefs.
Yeah, I guess I'd rather see that, but you know, that game isn't really exciting either.
I was looking at the slate for next Sunday. Like, you don't have a lot of exciting, like, I'm just gonna write it down quick. Like, Cardinals Bears, Eagles Jets, Colts Texans, Chargers Bengals, Bucks Falcons, Giants Dolphins, Vikings Lions, Jags Rams, which should be a blowout. Football team Raiders. The only one I could see it being is Ravens Steelers. Because obviously that's just a big rivalry.
I've had enough of those games on primetime.
But exactly. Like, I'm tired of seeing those games on primetime, like Giants and Cowboys on primetime. Or even two. In 2 weeks, we have to subdue ourselves to watching the Bears and the Packers. I get it's a nostalgic thing, but stop putting the Bears in primetime.
Oh, my God. especially if Fields isn't back too. Like, I do not care to watch a second of Andy Dalton playing football ever again in my whole life, you know?
I mean, I had my heartbreaker Thursday, but I had the under that game.
They can only flex two games a season, right?
No. So what the rule was before week 11, like up to week 11, they were only allowed to flex two games. Now I think they're allowed to do unlimited flexing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, looks like we might need that.
Yeah. Because week 12, you have it. Like, I know it's at 425, but you have the Bucs and the Bills. How in the hell is that not the Sunday nighter in 2 weeks?
I think they prioritize the game of the week. Not as much as Sunday night, but like those games matter. You know, they handpick those games. You know, before the season of, I don't know how it works, but I'm sure like CBS gets, or what is that on?
That'll be CBS.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, CBS gets one, then Fox and NBC. You know, they probably alternate like what they get to pick.
Or they probably paid a lot of money for that game. Like even for example, today's game with. What's it called? With Rams Packers could have easily been like even Patriots Titans. I feel like would have been a better Sunday night substitute instead of what we're watching right now. But you know what? I feel like the networks probably paid a lot of money for certain games, like even last week's Chiefs versus Cowboys game.
Yeah, but I don't mind the Ravens. They're always fun to watch. Usually, you know, that's a good team I'm interested in.
I mean, it also is going to depend on if Lamar's going to shit himself at some point.
Quite possible. Quite possibly.
But besides that, like I'm looking at the rest of the spread, like there wasn't like a whole lot of craziness today. Like I'd have to say the best game of the day probably was, Bucks versus Colts, 38-31, nice little shootout in Indy.
Yeah, and both of us were on +3 on the Colts. You know, I was even flaring with the money line a little bit, but I didn't do that. But you know, the Colts they were covering for a while, you know, and then they just let their foot off the. I didn't watch the game, but I just saw the score, you know, change, and then the Bucks just like ran away with it.
As soon as I saw it, like when I put on red zone and I see Tom with the ball less than 2 minutes left, like in their own in Indy's zone, I'm like, y'all, Indy's losing this game.
Hoping for that field goal for the push, man. But
fuck.
Yeah, no, fucking the Bucks held Jonathan Taylor in check for the most part. You know, Bruce Arians on the podium after the game, he's like, no one's running on us, so. You know, that's a really good win for the Bucks. Honestly, the Colts were heating up. You know, I still believe in the Colts. I think they're a really good team. Just had a slow start, and you know, Taylor's. I know it goes to the MVP goes to a quarterback, but if there was a person, Jonathan Taylor's the guy this year. You know, that's non-quarterbacks for MVP.
Exactly. Big Ryan and I actually had this conversation on Monday because we were saying this how. A lot of the times with MVP, they just go to use the quarterback who is on the best team as a safe bet. Like, I feel like if the Cardinals end up with the one seed, there's a very good chance that, you know, they give it to Kyler just because he's number one seed quarterback, best record in the NFL right now. I believe they're at 9-2 right now.
I don't know.
But we'll see. We'll see.
Missed like three games, right?
That's the thing, though. He's missed three games. So it's really... Like, I feel like this year, look, if there's a year to be different in what I still call, this is like the weirdest year of NFL football we've had in a very long time. I think this is the year to give it to a position player.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's called the Most Valuable Player Award, and the Cardinals are still winning games without Kyler on their team. So I don't know how you would be able to give it to him.
Can I say something? I feel like if Seattle had beaten them last week, which I was on Seattle money line for some reason because I thought Colt McCoy was going to be shit after what he did with Carolina. But the fact that he won and they've gone 2-1 without him, that I think speaks volumes.
Yeah, exactly. That means your team is well built. You know, they can sustain a couple games without, but, you know, obviously you want your fucking elite franchise guy in there for, you know, the playoffs. You know, Colt McCoy is probably not winning playoff games, but.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. No, as far as it being most valuable player. If you think about it, I mean, who's really in the running right now? What's do you have the odds, like the top three guys?
Give me a second. If you give me. Okay, I have to do some quick Googling, everyone.
Spot there, my bad. But
you know what? I'll have it up in a sec. I have it up in a sec. All right. So right now, okay, this is active. All kinds of weird. Right now, it's Tom Brady at +300.
Yeah, Brady. I could see Brady. Rodgers is balling. Rodgers is absolutely balling. I could see Rodgers. I think Josh Allen's falling off for sure.
He's at plus 600 still.
I don't see how Josh Allen is going to get that. He's having not a bad year, but, you know, a disappointing year, I would say, for sure.
The other one, too, is Stafford at plus 1,000. But honestly, after these three games.
That was your pick before the season. I killed you for that, too, that pick before the season. I was like, what the hell are you smoking?
I just thought of it. I'm like, you know what? He's good. I think I kind of bought into, like, the hot. Like, I was drinking that Kool-Aid, you know, where it was like, yeah, you know, they're going to go in there. They're going to, like, Matt Stafford's going to ball. Like, they were looking fine. And then they had the Cardinals game. I'm like, all right. But then the Titans came in and just ran all over them. And then they had that stinker up in San. They lost three in a row. They had that stinker on Sunday Night Football. They had the stink. They looked like shit against the Niners on Monday Night Football, which I'm saying this right now. That is a team to watch for in the NFC.
Niners.
Yeah. I'm like, if they're, when they're healthy and clicking, they're like, I know I've been on like the Kyle Shanahan fire train, but like when they're healthy, they're looking really good.
Jimmy G is trying to keep that job, I feel, man. And that's good for the Niners, too, because he'll have some trade value if they end up making some noise. You know what I'm saying? Because they're moving on after the season, no doubt, in my mind, you know?
So no,
good for them as a franchise to you know, get some draft picks back after that trade.
I also tweeted this out today, but I feel like, is there not a more underappreciated player in the league than Deebo Samuel when it comes to receivers?
Oh, he's just killing it, man. Wow. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that for sure. Unfortunately, yeah. He is not on any of my fantasy teams, so you know I've gotten beat by him a couple times in a couple leagues. But yeah, no, definitely will not fade that guy next year.
Oh no! I'm not fading him next year. And then, because that's the thing with fantasy next year, it's like if I had to ask you right now, who goes number one overall? Like, is it still McCaffrey? Yeah,
100%. McCaffrey's hurt again, bro. He's starting to become an injury-prone player. I'm not touching him in the first with the first pick.
Yeah, Marshall Yanda got skinny. They were showing, I guess Marshall Yanda came out, like they did, like he came out with some shield to like hype up the crowd and everything, and he lost his old lineman weight. Good for him.
All right, we in there, man. I got big money on Baltimore minus 3.
All right, as Cleveland's going to start with the ball here, and I have to have muted my favorite. I don't know why, but I always love the, like when they do the schools and they introduce themselves.
With the shit PFF grades?
No, the one where it's like, you know, right now you're going to hear like Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma.
Yeah, you don't see at the bottom PFF rank, you know, they have the PFF
rank. Oh, shit, yeah, they do that. What is that? Well, I don't know if you know. Oh, there it is right there. 25 out of 32, 10 out of 59. Do you want to know why they do that probably?
Because Collinsworth is partnered with them.
Collinsworth is one of the founders of PFF.
Yeah, founders.
Like, he's one of the big bosses at PFF.
Mm-hmm. Well, his grading system fucking sucks. And people need to stop using that as the Bible.
I don't use it as the Bible, but there's a podcast on there that I listen to that I really like. That's all.
No, I know. You do have PFF guys on here. You know, no harm, no foul. It's just the people who reference that as, you know, the end-all, be-all. But it's towards those people. It's a great tool, for sure. Definitely a great tool.
It's a great, like, I'll admit, but, I love it. I do not swear by it, though.
The people who use PFF to just, you know, like, oh, I'm right and you're wrong because his PFF grade is this. Like, no, get out of here, bro.
No, I'm the same way. Like I said, I've had PFF. I've had Austin Gale. Shout out to Austin Gale from the Tailgate Podcast. Formerly 2-for-1 Drafts on here. And then, like, I liked him for that. And then also, too, I listened to the podcast. And also, I use it. I know I'm saying it also a lot. But I like their mock draft tool that they have.
Oh, yeah, the simulator? Yeah, that's really cool, too. You know, because I'm a Jet fan. I'm on there, you know, week 15, 16, 17, trying to see what the hell is good. But...
Oh, Baltimore came with a blitz there. What a play.
Oh, and I am ahead of Griff.
Oh, yeah, you are. See, and with the...
6-3-2. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I was about to say no. They just got the play up the middle, and Patrick Queen got the nice blitz up the middle.
Well, yeah, man. Definitely not too excited this week, I wouldn't say. I'm just waiting on my boy Griff over here. I'm rooting him on to hit a parlay, man. One of these weeks before the season, that's got to happen.
One of these weeks. One of these damn weeks. I didn't even think about betting on this game tonight. Tomorrow, I'm not even touching that game with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, my God.
Seattle and Washington on Monday Night Football. Whoever's on that game needs to – whoever, like, like, I literally have no, I'll still watch it, but I have zero desire to care for it. That's why I'm so much glad, like, we decided to do this podcast. We were going to do this tomorrow night, actually Tuesday night, and then we moved Tuesday night to tonight, which I'm glad, so we get to watch this game, which has actually been pretty, I know it's only the beginning, but look, Ravens-Browns versus former football team Seahawks, so give me Ravens-Browns. Okay, now I see why you said the oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying oh my god, the football team Seahawks.
I didn't want to spoil it.
It's all good. It's all good. Also, I got to say, these Cleveland, I like the uniforms, but I don't get the Alabama lettering on the helmet. Or numbering, excuse me.
Yeah, that's new, right? I've never seen that.
Well, it's a throwback uniform to, I think, the 1946 season, like how San Fran's doing those like nice 80s throwbacks.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can still see you guys winning this game by three, even if they get a score here.
Oh yeah, I'm not worried. It's just the opening drive, you know. These are scripted plays. Teams practice opening drive, you know, throughout the week.
Yeah.
It's when you're in the middle of the game and you got to make plays. What matters?
Oh yeah. Oh. But no, man, like, you're right, though, when you said this Sunday was just, like, it was whatever. Like, this, I feel like it was a Sunday where you can just say, like, you know, it happened. Like, nothing special happened. It was a good day overall. Like, nothing crazy happened. No one, like, was a huge, like, obviously some dogs won their games, like the Giants won their game. But besides that, like, nothing really crazy happened. I think we just kind of seeing the playoff picture kind of really taking shape, and now we can kind of, I feel like, start to separate who's legit from who's not legit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, bro. I feel like it flips back and forth every week or two. You know, all these teams are, like, really, like, middle of the pack. Like, no one's really standing out. You know, there's no clear-cut Super Bowl favorite. I mean, maybe the Bucs are picking up momentum and they're starting to pull away. But as far as, like, everyone else, you know, it's just, like, you don't know. And, like, anyone could really cover a spread as an underdog these days, so... You know, that's how I'm going to, as far as my betting approaching, that's how I'm going to really take it going forward. But, yeah, man. I mean, look at the wild card hunt on both sides. That seventh spot is, you know, really got a lot of teams playing, you know, in the hunt.
Exactly. Like, right now, the Chargers are at seven, but, like, you got Vegas behind them, you got Cleveland, you got Denver, you got Indy.
Let's go.
Okay, so I'm clearly ahead of you.
You're ahead of me.
Or,
No. You'll see.
Okay. I thought you were clapping because of the Marlon Humphrey thing. I think I kind of know what happened here. Because when I look at the standings right here, like, for the rest of, like, the lower tier, like, the Jags, Texans, and Jets, like, they're in the no way in hell category. Holy shit, the fuck, man. I was, like, going straight. I just decided just to curve to the left. Jesus Christ. I know you're going to hate me for saying this, but I want to ask you this. What? Are the Dolphins still in it?
Let me see their schedule.
They have the Giants next week.
They are definitely playing like they were last year. They have the Giants next week.
Then the bye week. Then you guys.
I think that should be a win. They should be able to beat us. They should be able to beat the Saints. If the Titans are healthy, Henry might be back, and A.J. Brown should be back then.
And Julio.
And then they got the Patriots. No, I don't think they're getting in. No. They'll make a nice little run, you know, which that's really what they need to do because they don't have a draft pick that's their own. So, you know, if they go on a nice little three-game winning streak here, which would be 7-game winning streak, you know.
Don't they have the Niners?
7-7.
Don't they have the Niners draft pick?
Yeah, they have the Niners draft pick, but I'm saying, like, their season doesn't matter.
Oh, shit, that's right. They could definitely...
As far as, like, you know, their own draft pick.
True. Yeah, because Philly's got their pick. I'm looking at the schedule. I can see them finishing 7-10 or 8-9.
7-10 or 8-9? Yeah, that's definitely totally fair, bro.
Yeah, I think they'll be on that team where it's, like... I think where they are right now is, like, where the Patriots were this time last year. You know, where it's, like... I think some people might say, hey, they still have a chance, but in reality, we all kind of know, look, I don't think it's enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because then even, too, when I look at the rest of it, like, I'm not giving Pittsburgh a fucking chance in hell to make the playoffs. After you tie Detroit, you lose last week to the Chargers, and you get killed by the Bengals, which Cincinnati's sitting right now at that first wild card spot, man. Who would, like, the Cincinnati Bengals, I think, have to be the surprise team of the year.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were hyping them, we were gassing them up, you know, when they were in first in the NFC North a couple weeks ago, and then they started, you know, they lost to us, the Jets, and then, you know, they dropped a couple games, but now they're heating up again, bro. They're definitely heating up again. I think they get in. Let me look at the playoff picture right now.
Yeah, so it's obviously so the bye ended today. Baltimore would have the bye, and then wow.
That's seventh seed up for grabs. I like everyone in the top six. I think everyone in the top six: Baltimore, New England, Tennessee, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo. They all get in, and that seventh seed, man, between the Chargers, the Raiders, the Browns, the Broncos, the Colts.
Yeah,
that's anyone's seed right there, bro. And that's why that was so tragic that the Chargers lost today.
Exactly. And then if you look at the NFC, I like the Cardinals to make it. I like I only like so far the Cardinals, the Packers, the Bucks, the Cowboys, and I'm going to say the Rams to make it at the moment.
Yeah, the Rams definitely will get in. And then 6 and 7, you know, they're I mean, you got the Falcons, no. Saints, no. Yeah, I don't buy into them with Simeon. They suck. Eagles, no. Carolina sucks. Yeah, the NFC isn't really too exciting, you know. The Niners will definitely get in then.
I think the Niners can get in. I feel like the Vikings are that team where, like, you know, they have to not.
Unless one of these teams just goes on a fucking heroic run, you know. Like, you know, Washington wins tomorrow, gets some momentum, 5 and 6, you know. Who knows?
Because, like, the Vikings coming up, like, they have the Lions, the Steelers, and the Bears. So they can really avenge today's loss easily.
But they just love dropping bad games, you know. Didn't they lose to Cooper Rush?
They so let me tell you their losses so far. So they lost 27-24 to the Bengals, and they lost 34-33 to the Cards, 14-7 to the Browns, 20-16 to Cooper Rush and the Vikings, 34-31 to the Ravens, and then today 34-26. So the Vikings are just that team that, like, you know that, like, bad luck Brian meme from, like, back in the day? That's the Vikings. Yeah.
I mean, the only really good win they have is that Packers win, you know. I mean, I guess the Chargers win, too, in L.A., but, you know, they're not. They're just a middle-of-the-road team, bro, you know.
That loss pisses me off because so let's go into sports. We're all on the Packers. No, not the Packers loss. I actually had the Vikings to cover that game.
Did you? Wow.
I took the Vikings to cover, not on my ticket, but on my spread ticket. Last week, I had a horrible week on my spread ticket. But the week before, I was good. I had the Bills to cover against you guys. I took the Colts to win against the Jags. And then I took the Eagles to beat the Broncos because I was like, you know what, the Broncos had that big spot against Dallas. I'm like, the Broncos are due for a letdown here. And then I had the Chargers to beat the Vikings, which didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was that bad man Myles Garrett just threw down Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah. That's actually another category I want to go into. It's going to be broken up into two parts. So if it pauses for a second, you know why. The next part I wanted to go into with you, Danny, was Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, man. You know, I know Myles Garrett's the favorite right now. But, you know, you can't ignore what J.C. Jackson's doing. I think Trayvon Diggs is overrated. You know, he, for all his interceptions, he gets burned just as much.
Exactly. I remember the Patriots game, Patriots-Vikings. He has the pick six. And then out of nowhere, he just, like, he basically had the pick six and then he got burned by Kendrick Bourne on the next play.
Yeah. No, so, yeah. I think he's highly overrated. So I don't think you can give it to him. I know he's in a lot of people's conversations, but I mean, Myles Garrett is, what does he have? He just had another sack. So what is he up to now? What's his total?
I'm not sure, but his odds for Defensive Player of the Year are plus 200.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's probably going to go to him. What's the top three guys?
So he's at plus 200. Trayvon Diggs is at plus 400. And then TJ Watt's at plus 750.
TJ Watt. Oof. I think he missed a couple games, though, no?
He did. I think it was a calf or a knee problem.
Okay. So, yeah, it looks like Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and then the one odds I like, though, man, Matthew Judon at plus 1,800. I'm like, you can't – like, I know he probably won't win, but I think there's an argument for him to be in the top five.
He has double-digit sacks, right?
Yeah. First Patriots since Chandler Jones.
Wow. Yeah, man, I mean, hey, if he has a monster stretch right now and you grab that line, anything could happen. You know, you hate to say it, but if Myles Garrett were to go down or something, you know.
Exactly. So far in the year, he has 10.5 sacks. Last year, he only had 6.
Miles or Judon?
Judon.
Judon, okay. Yeah, and he's getting, you know, he's getting pressures. He's getting quarterback hits. He's really, really good run defender. So, didn't he have the forced fumble today or the recovery?
No, that was J.C. Jackson had the forced fumble, and then Jalen Mills had the recovery. And the other one, I don't know who popped it out, the one that, like, the ball was kicked. And then I think it was Kyle Duggar who recovered it. I think that may have been Kyle Van Noy. But with Miles Garrett, though, it's hard to argue because he's already at 13 sacks on the year and 23 tackles.
So with J.C. Jackson next year, is he looking at a franchise tag, you think?
No. He's getting paid.
Like, you think so?
I can see a world where, like, because this has happened with a lot of Patriot players, especially defenders. Like, you had it happen with Devin McCourty. You had it happen with Dante Hightower. I also think it's part of the reason why Stephon Gilmore got traded, to be honest with you, is because I think Bill is going to – if anyone gets paid this offseason, it is J.C. Jackson, just because what the year he's having, they could try to convince him, but I think it's in his best nature to, look, take the money, take the bag. Excuse me.
If that guy hits the open market, he's going to be the newest highest paid cornerback in the league for sure.
Oh, 100%. I think he's one of the best corners in the league right now.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, we'll see. I would love to have him. You know, I would throw the fucking blank check at him, but I don't see how he shakes free at all.
Exactly. No, I don't think Bill lets him go, like I said, especially too with the trade with Gilmore. I have a bad scenario for you, and I feel like it still could play out, or the NFL would love for this.
What?
For a Patriots-Bucks Super Bowl.
Dude, that thought literally crossed my mind today. I'm not even joking. I said, I was just like, watch this shit happen, you know? And it would not surprise me. It literally wouldn't.
If you want a Super Bowl that would break the hearts of Bill's mafia, it's that one.
That Super Bowl would be the highest rated thing to ever be on television, like in the history of television.
I would just fucking hate it I would just hate the lead up to it, because like every day you'd be hearing the whole, you know, oh, is it Bill? Is it Tom? Who's better? Who contributed more? This is the true test of which is better. When in reality, all it is look, both are great in their own ways. Let's just respect it.
That would be awesome to see, man, honestly.
Because this year truly shows that, look, of how good Bill truly is. The fact that it took one offseason and just him spending money to get the Patriots back in order.
And the thing is, you know, he spent money, and the only guys really contributing are Judon and Kendrick, right? Like, what's his name hasn't done much. The other receiver, Aguilar, hasn't done much. You know, Henry's good for a touchdown here, you know. And then Jonnu Smith's really kind of been quiet, right? I don't know how Jalen Mills has been.
Jalen Mills has been fine. Like this is the thing, though, I feel. With a lot of these players, if your name's not getting called, you're doing, you know how sometimes when they're like, oh, you haven't heard from this guy that much? For me, that's Nelson Aguilar. Like, Aguilar's only had one drop this year. Like, he hasn't had a bad season. I just look at it in the way of, you know, he's doing his job. Like, when he gets called upon, he's making catches. Like, Nelson Aguilar, he hasn't been fantastic, but he's not been horrible. It's not like, oh, I regret signing him, you know?
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's a fair way to put it. But, no, man, I mean, it's just like, it's that system, and that's what it just proves, is like anyone can come into that system and just, you know, Bill just makes it work, bro.
Exactly. But the Patriots do have more a decent like a chunk like Judon, of free agents next year.
He brought Judon to another level. Like, Judon was never this kind of pass rusher. I mean, he was a good pass rusher for Baltimore, but, you know, like, this guy's playing his best football of his career.
Oh, dude, 100%. He's just come out of nowhere. Like, when I saw him, like, Ravens fans were happy to get rid of him, and then in his first game, he sacks Tua that turned into an interception. He got after Brady. But even too with him, the amount of like holding calls that aren't called against him when he's going after someone is just astonishing. And that goes to show, look, of how good he really is.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a free agent hit for you guys, for sure.
Because that's the thing, too. It's not only the fact that we open up the checkbooks and assign everyone to all this crazy money, but it's the fact of how well they're hitting. Like, obviously, Kendrick Bourne's been great. Obviously, even Hunter Henry, too. Like, I know Hunter Henry had a quiet game today, but he's been quiet. Like, he's been making plays and stuff. And then today, like we were saying earlier, Jonnu Smith finally got to show a look of how, not how good is his worth, but, like, how good he could truly be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, next year, I feel like in free agency, your focus is going to be, or even the draft, is, you know, that pass catching running back, you know, like a nice one.
No, we got Bonner. Like,
huh?
We got Stevenson.
Stevenson's been good as a receiver?
Yeah, he's been all right as a receiver. Brandon Bolden's been a little wonky in that role, but Damian Harris is our RB1. Stevenson can come in and kind of be a hybrid, but I feel like James White was the pass catching running back until he got hurt, but I think he was on a 1-year deal. I think he's going to be on his way out next year. I just don't see a world where we re-sign him. But it's all going to be a big wait and see with this offseason. But look, I don't want to think about that. This, because this right here, this is the best time of the year to be a football fan. Even if your team's not good, if your team's great, just to be a fan of the game, this is the time of year you love.
Oh, yeah, man. This is crunch time now, man. You know, week 13, 14, 15, 16. You know, this is where it's going to happen.
Exactly. And a couple of questions for you then, since we've been talking about it, we've been talking apart from all of our other discussions. If you had to give me now the names of three coaches that aren't Pete Carroll, because obviously we probably figure he's going to be on his way out. Who are three coaches you could see getting fired at the end of the season?
Three getting fired. Shit, on the spot right there.
Yeah.
I could see Fangio if they don't make it. I could definitely, obviously Nagy's, you know, that's a free layup right there.
And I think then, if their asses, can I say something for a sec?
What?
I think if the Cardinals kill them next Sunday, he's done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tired of hearing about it, to be honest, bro. Everyone knows it's going to happen. Just, you know, let's the players know it. He knows it. You know, the fans know it. So let's just let's make the move already. And I said Fangio. You know, maybe not Fangio, but, you know, you told me to give three. And then I'm stuck. Who would be your third?
My third, so let's see right now. We're looking at the list. I love everyone that goes Houston, but I'm like, yo, who's going to go coach there? And no. If I had to pick a third, I want to say Flores, but I'm not going to, just because I feel like I just don't see it.
No, it's not
going to
be Flores. They recovered well.
Exactly. They recovered well. Fuck, who's a good coach that could get out? Yeah, I might have to go Joe Judge, honestly. I think Gettleman's definitely done.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, the reports that came out today is I heard that they're going to bring some New England guys in for Judge.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Front office guys. So we'll see on that.
Yeah, they're going to hire fucking Ernie Adams to be the GM. The only other one I could see too, but I feel like would be stupid, is I know Steelers fans call for this all the time, but they always go like how if there's not a good year, they want Mike Tomlin gone. Mike Tomlin's that kind of coach that, look, you fire your head coach for to hire.
Yeah, no, you don't do that. I don't think so. I could see Ron Rivera. I could definitely see Ron Rivera, possibly.
I don't know about that one. I think if they do miss the playoffs, I think you could. Oh, Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer, I think, is the other one.
Oh, Zimmer, yeah. There you go. That's a good third one.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer. I just think with Zimmer, I just don't know. But also to Joe Judge, I feel like if the Giants get off to the same poor start again next year, I think you something's got to give. Because it's like, look, you're in 2 years. I think the Giants right now are 4-7. Because if the Giants don't win more than 6 games this year, like, I don't know what else to say with them, because that's how much they won last year. Like, I just gotta look at their schedule, because obviously, like I said, they have Miami on the home stretch, but for some reason they're keeping all the NFC East teams to play each other like all throughout the home stretch. Like, for example, the Giants, they play the Dolphins, the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Bears, and the football team.
Yeah.
With all those games, like, I think the Dolphins beat them, but the Dolphins and the Chargers, like, they lose their next. I can see a world where they lose their next 3 games and they're going into week 16 at 4-10.
Yeah, man, that's definitely possible.
Yeah, because like you have Dolphins, Chargers, Cowboys, Eagles, Bears, football team. But to make matters worse, I don't know if you've seen this, but the football team schedule after, like, for absolute, like, they have the Seahawks, the Raiders, and then they play Cowboys, Eagles, Giants.
Wow.
They've literally played one divisional game through 12 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if something's going to happen, you know,
yeah,
you're going to be familiar with the opponent.
Exactly. Let's see what Baker does here on second down. Part of me, I don't think this is going to be a crazy game like that. I can see this being a close game, but I can't see this being like a crazy score fest at this point.
Yeah, definitely not in the first half.
Now, I'm going to be a good guy and I want Danny to win some money. Give me 24-17. Ravens
I'll
win.
I'll take it, man. I'll take 24-20. Let's go. Do not throw that flag. Come on. No way. There's been some terrible officiating this year, man, I must say.
You know what I hate? Like, I know my team's guilty of it too. I just don't like it with the I just don't like it when the pass interference call happens and then the guy looks at the ref and goes like, "Yo, what the fuck?" And then he throws the flag. Like, no, if you're not gonna call it, don't call it.
Yeah, late calls. And then they've been doing fucking like looking at the video screen and then calling. Didn't that happen last week or on Thanksgiving? They looked at the video screen and then they called the penalty after that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this though. That Marlon Humphrey thing, that was not PI.
No, it's just, you know, it's good physical corner play.
Yeah, there's Jerome Boger's growing his playoff beard.
I hate that guy.
I did too. That's another thing too. I feel like so many of these officials, like, they try to control the game so much that it just ruins the game.
Yeah, and then they'll give a makeup call the next play too. You know.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you ever, obviously I know you're not too big of a hockey guy, but at some point I want you to Google the name Tim Peel, because he basically opened up the cookie jar for, I know it's a really weird metaphor to give, but he basically admitted on camera that he had to give a makeup call and he got fired for it.
Oh, wasn't that last year?
Yep.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember seeing that. Yep. Yeah, man. Yeah. It's just ridiculous in sports, bro.
All four levels is broken. MLB, NHL, NBA, NFL. Officiating is bad. The only thing with the NFL that makes it worse is the fact that these guys, this is not their full job.
Yeah. Oh, it's not their full job?
Nah. Most of these guys are like, dude, Cleve Blakeman's a lawyer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, Gene Steratore works with his brother. Like, they have their own sanitation company just outside of Pittsburgh.
No, I didn't even put any thought into that, honestly. I thought they got paid enough to, like, live for the year pretty well.
They still make, like, $250,000, $300,000 a year, but...
They're chilling, then.
Yeah, they're chilling. It's just, it's a good chill inside hustle to have. Like, they probably make more money refereeing games in the weekend than they do with their Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much that. But, let's see what Baker does here. I'm just... Because I missed the last penalty. Because like we were just like talking legal stuff. Formation. You gotta figure it's like a legal formation or motion if it's called right away. As it goes right through Nick Chubb's hands. I just have it muted. Oh, that sucks for Conklin.
Yeah, that's a big loss.
That's huge. Oh man. Let's see what happens. But no, like I said before, this is just the time of year where if you're a football fan, man, you love it. But at the same time, too, today, like, today was just a Sunday. That's the thing. We haven't had really many exciting Sundays where you have, like, multiple games where it's like, yo, that was crazy, or yo, that was it. This was just another Sunday where it's like, you know what? Football happened.
What was that? I'm sorry.
The fuck are you doing, Jarvis? This is just another Sunday where it's like, you know what? Football happened. Like, nothing really exciting happened.
Yeah, man. No, I'm still pissed about the bet I lost. I nailed Jets money line. Absolutely nailed Jets money line. And then I had I parlayed it with Elijah Moore's reception yards over 53.5. The guy gets the 50. He got to like 55. You know, he was sitting on 48. Got to 55. Totally irrelevant play. And then David Culley throws a fucking challenge flag. The catch is clearly inconclusive. There's no way you could, you know, overturn that call on the field. And they do, and then, you know, I lose the bet because he just never goes over again. So I've been losing bets, you know, in the most sick, twisted ways this week, and it's just ridiculous. Even on Thanksgiving, I don't know if you saw that one. I had I parlayed Bills -6, Stephon Diggs touchdown, and Stephon Diggs over 74.5 yards. The guy finishes with 74 yards.
I know, I saw that one. You were venting to me so bad. Like, for me, mine was...
That's sickening, bro.
That's just so painful, man. Oh, my God.
Half a yard, bro? Come on.
For me on Thanksgiving, it was, I had the under in Detroit, Chicago, which I was like, okay, fine. I'm like, that's going to hit. Then I took Dallas, Vegas over, because I'm like, they're probably going to score points. And then the last one, I had Saints, Bills. It was 9 points that if only the Saints were more confident, even though I was pissed at the Bills, because like, fucking Josh Allen was throwing like meaningless interceptions. Where like the Bills did.
I don't know. I never saw the over on that game. I don't know what you saw there, bro. I just know that Saints offense is terrible.
But here's the thing, though, because even after Jameis got hurt, they hit it against Atlanta, they hit it against Tennessee, and then they hit it again against Philly. So they hit it 3 weeks in a row. Week nine, I was betting their overs consistently. I didn't bet it against the Eagles, but I took it against the the Falcons and the Titans, because with the Falcons game, it was only at like 42, and I'm like, okay, it's like they're going to hit. Like, I've had a feeling those games are going to be like, you know, 21-21 or like 24-21, which was like, I want to say the final was like 25-20. I think it was 27-25 is the final score of that game. But like, you know, it's like, I feel like, hey, it's been hitting and it was working. So I was like, I figured the Saints, they'd still find a way to put up at least 14-17 points. I think they put up fucking 6 points.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's unfortunate. But I mean, I felt like Thursday was an easy day, you know? Like the Lions, I thought the Lions would cover. You know, I thought 7.5 was way too much for the Raiders. Way too much. They just thought, you know, everyone was going to bet the Cowboys that day. So I'm sure the books made a lot, but I was on the Raiders all day long. And then Bills -6 was, I thought that was an easy line too.
You were on the Raiders more than Miguel was. So look at you. Whenever
Danny, yeah, I was talking about the whole game, man.
It's like whenever Danny's confident, just go with that play, everyone.
No, don't do that. Because I have really bad luck right now. Like, I'm reading shit well. It's just bad luck is not in my way. I mean, luck is not in my way, on my side right now.
Well, you know what? Like, it is what it is. I was looking at, like, we're looking ahead for next week. Like, the opening line, too, for one I like, or I don't want to know, I may not touch it, though, is Cowboys-Saints at the Cowboys being a 5-point favorite at home. On a 5-point favorite on the road, excuse me.
Yeah, I would take that.
Well, the Cowboys cover 5?
I would think the Cowboys cover 5.
You know what? I think so, too. I think it's just one of those things where it's like, they're a good team. You figure they're probably going to be very, like, this. I feel like the Saints, they keep buying into the hope that, hey, they'll be good, but then they just find a way to dwindle.
Simeon's just bad, I feel, you know?
Yeah, I don't buy into
him. Not going to be able to keep up with the Cowboys offense.
I have a really crazy superstition, or not superstition, but I have a really weird feeling of something that someone may try to do.
What?
Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy and try to get Sean Payton to come coach their team.
That'd be nuts.
I don't think it'll happen because I still also have a weird feeling that the Saints will find a way to get Russell Wilson on their team next year and probably trade away Michael Thomas in the process.
Wow.
I'm just saying because I look at all the teams where I'm like where Russ could go, and I'm just like, I'm pretty sure last year New Orleans was on his list.
Well, the Saints definitely do need to recoup some draft picks. So, I mean, not the Saints, the Seahawks.
Yeah, I feel like the Saints would be – unless the Saints pick was in the top 10, I'd say give it up. Also, because this year, dude, the quarterback class is not that good this year. This year is going to be a big position year class. I know for a lot of – like for the casual fan, it's not really an attractive reason to watch the draft. This year, you're going to have a lot of good offensive linemen, a lot of good defensive linemen, receivers. You're going to have other talent too, like linebackers, secondary. Like this is a year where, look, this is a year – you draft for need, not for want this year.
Yeah, man. No, the pass rushers are stacked, bro. At the top, absolutely stacked.
Yeah, and, no,
they got the safety. That's really good. And then you know, there's a couple really good receivers coming out. So yeah, no, there's talent, bro.
Yep, and two of them go to the same school. You have Chris Olave, and you have Garrett Wilson.
Wilson, yeah, and then you got you know, Stingley's still there coming out. Evan Neal's a really good tackle out of Alabama. Linderbaum, the center, I love him. Would love to take him.
You also have, who's the guy? Oh, that's another thing I'm going to say about this game too right now, man. Hollywood Brown's really come out this year. Like, I think I don't know if this play's coming back or not, but that's just something I want to point out, man. He's finally having a good year.
Yeah.
Like, I look at this Ravens team, though, and I'm like, do you think they could be the team to go to the Super Bowl for the AFC? It's like, I still don't know.
The Ravens?
Yeah.
I just don't trust their running backs. And that's, like, really what they focus on. Nice! Let's go.
So the fuck was like, the play? Because obviously you're ahead of me. Like, I don't know what Bulger was doing there. But, yeah, no. The Ravens, I know they were banged up in the position. One thing I'm going to say, too, and I know we're already going into the Bills. I'm going into the Bills hate week. Man, the Tre'Davious White loss is going to be bad for them.
Oh, yeah. That's a really big loss for them.
I don't wish, like, oh, nice fake.
No way, man. These refs, bro. You got to be kidding me.
All right. You're obviously ahead of me, so I'm going to have to wait and see. But I just saw the fourth down play. So that was good shit by the Ravens special teams there. But, yeah. I just think, look, I know I'm not saying this because, like, obviously I'm a Patriots fan. I want the Pats to win. and I'm not saying this is like, oh, it's bad, like, we do this, but I'm just going to say, if the Patriots do beat the Bills, no Tre'Davious White's going to be a huge factor, because now I look at the Bills secondary, White would be the one guarding Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah. Yeah, man, if you guys win that game, yeah, it's time to look at you guys as Super Bowl contenders, unfortunately.
Right now, we're at, I want to see what the futures odds were, because a few weeks it was plus 425 to win it all.
Wow. Yeah, Vegas is starting to believe too, then.
Yeah, they're starting to believe that we could be the team to go. I got to look up these odds again just to see where they're at. Like, let's see. Oh, futures, there it is.
On, man.
Okay, so the only ones that are listed right now for some reason is... So there's only a few listed right now, but I'm gonna go on the spot. I'm gonna say this right now. Folks, we're live. I gotta look up the odds. Super Bowl odds. Tampa Bay is the favorite at 550. Patriots are plus 1200.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Chiefs are still gonna be the favorite, but you know, the Patriots are definitely the number one dark horse.
The Patriots and the Cardinals. So the Cardinals are plus 850. Their opening day odds were plus 4,000.
Wow.
So my bet on the Patriots thing, I got the number wrong. I think it was Bet99 had it there. I'm on Odd Shark right now, and Odd Shark has. The Patriots started the season at plus 3,000. They're plus 1,200 right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
And at plus 500,000, you can bet on the Houston Texans or the Detroit Lions to win it all.
You're just donating money at that point. And people do that, honestly.
Yeah, well, there have been weird bets. Like, someone had, like, Milwaukee. Like, you know, like you see them BR betting.
What's going on with this game?
I'm telling you, this game, if you had the under.
Oh, Browns. Yo, Cleveland is a mess, bro.
Yo, I don't know if you saw this or not, but like that, the Cleveland fans are the most bipolar in the league. I know I have my buddy Andy come on here. He's from Toronto, but he's also a huge Browns fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it was the fourth down play you were laughing at, which the Ravens really are doing a good job of controlling the clock here. Did they really get a 12th man on the field call?
Again, they had one. They took the timeout before this play because they had 12 on the field.
You fucking and they idiots.
Back out with 12.
Oh, man, at Cleveland, I don't know what it is with them. Like, 2 weeks, like 3 weeks ago, they were literally like, yo, we're good and everything. After they killed Cincinnati and everyone kind of, that was the other game too, Cincinnati. They obviously lost to you guys when they lost to the Browns. But then the Browns went into New England, got their asses kicked, and it hasn't been the same since.
Yeah, let's take a shot here, man. Come on.
Okay, you get the first down, and you basically do that. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, they don't have the running back talent, bro, like I said.
Nah, they do not. Obviously, they were hit hard, but with the injuries and everything, which was right before a lot of fans. I had a fantasy draft literally the day before J.K. Dobbins tore his ACL, like the day after I had the draft.
Oh, that's a late hit. That's a late fucking hit.
Yeah, I'm not, oh, my God, flag. Yeah, it is.
You better fucking throw that damn flag.
That's the other thing, too. Refs have been, like, obviously I'm going to see it. There was one on first down there, but, like, that's the other thing, too. Roughing the passer has been called way too late this year, even with pass interference. Like, either throw the flag at the spot or don't.
Yep.
Let's see this.
Oh, did you see Zach Wilson's face mask get completely ripped off his face today?
No, I did not. Oh, my.
I got to send you that.
Yo, that play right there on McDowell, yeah, that's obviously, that's not something like roughing the passer, but that's fucking hitting out of bounds. That's
very rough. Yeah,
that's not yeah. Stupid, stupid penalty to take. Jesus Christ, Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll take it. It was a great penalty.
Oh, my God. I don't know what the Browns are doing. Yo, yeah, send that. You got to send me that. Send me that clip of Zach Wilson getting his face mask ripped off. Do you know who the ref was in the game today? Or?
Huh?
Who do you know who the ref was in your game today? Or?
No, I don't remember, honestly.
We had Alex Kemp. He was fine. Like, there was no real, like, outrageous calls or anything. There was just... Judon boo-booed a couple of times in the lineup in the neutral zone by accident. But besides that, like, the Patriots have had fine officiating for the last few weeks.
Yeah, they kind of always do from my side.
Oh, yeah, I know what I was about to say. Like, nothing egregious. Like, you know how the Cowboys were bitching about Sean Hockley on Thursday? Like, I mean, nothing like that. Nothing to, like, bitch and complain about.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at this right now. Because even, too, I look, like, I'm going to pull up the AFC playoff picture again. Because I just got to bring this up to you. Let's see this. AFC playoff picture. So when I look at the playoff picture, Baltimore doesn't really have running back talent. New England has it.
Fucking catch that, Hollywood. Come on, dude.
I love you overreacting because then, like, I get on. I'm like, what the fuck's he going to say? Tennessee, we'll see with running backs. Kansas City, like, CHE is okay. Bengals have it. Bills.
Gotta catch that, dude.
Okay, he's going deep. Bombs away. Yo, how do you miss that? How?
The policeman wasn't the greatest. I saw the replay, but damn, bro. Find a way.
My God.
Come on.
That's good blocking on Newsom. That's good protection on Greg Newsom, though.
Oh, you suck, Sammy Watkins.
Well, I mean, what else is new?
Oh, that's not even... That's fucking Bateman. Whatever. That should be field goal range.
Oh, it's good. It's good. Oh, but anyway, Danny, you have anything else to say for today?
That's it, man. Let me go sweat this game out.
You know what? I'm going to go let you sweat this game out. I feel like there's not much else we can talk about. So anyway, folks, that's going to do it for episode number 133. I'll be back on Thursday night. It may be live. It may not be. You'll just have to wait and find out. But anyway, guys, have a good one. And enjoy the rest of your weeks.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.